Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. We are less than 2 weeks from the November election. Early voting has already started in New Mexico, and you may have already cast a ballot. Today, we want to hear what you have to say about the issues discussed on the campaign trail this year. What concerns do you feel the presidential candidates did not bring up in 2016? Immigration reform was one of the topics in the final presidential debate last week. But other than Donald Trump talking about building a wall, there wasn't much discussion about details. And that's what we want to bring to the table today. Did you hear enough from candidates on that issue? What about education, climate change, or health care? Join our conversation and tell us what you think. The number is 1-877-899-5866. We welcome your comments also on Facebook and Twitter. Let's start with independent journalist Laura Paskus in studio with us today. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, Sarah.
What are the top issues that you did not hear candidates discuss? You often cover the environment in your reporting.
Right. So on a personal level, there were lots of issues that I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're not talking about this. But the issues that I pay attention to for work, kind of the big things were really climate change, energy policy, like a realistic energy policy, and environmental protections and regulations.
Now, is that at the national level or the local level or both?
That's at a national level, but I don't think those topics don't get a lot of traction on a local level or a state level either.
Now, how does this year compare to past years? You know, are we usually not talking about these things, or did you notice a distinct difference in 2016?
Right. I think probably like most people paying attention to the presidential campaign, sort of shocked that there were so very few substantive issues discussed in the debates, and there was so much emphasis on conflict between the two candidates. Climate change hasn't gotten attention in the past either, but you know, 4 years later, after the last presidential election, the scientific consensus on climate change is stronger than ever. We're seeing the impacts of more changes worldwide, including in the United States, and having a better understanding of how to think about preparing, adapting. The Paris Accord is a really big deal on an international level. So there's so much more attention and education and knowledge about what's happening that it should have been it's a natural issue for inclusion in the presidential debates.
What do you see as being at stake in New Mexico right now that voters should be thinking about what decisions elected officials are going to be making on our behalf?
I think aside from the budget issues, which I think are just overwhelming in every possible way, touching every department and every aspect of state government. You know, for me, the issues that I pay attention to and think are critical are water, whether that's water quality or water quantity, planning for infrastructure and making sure that we have the infrastructure in place that can deliver water to all the people who want it and need it. And also, energy is such a huge issue for New Mexico. What we've been doing in the past, what's not working, what we need to be doing. And also, you know, both candidates didn't talk about this during the debates or don't talk about it very often, but both our presidential candidates have said that nuclear power needs to be a part of our energy mix in the future. And that has huge implications for New Mexico because uranium for those plants comes from mines in New Mexico. And, you know, chances are good we would end up with some of that nuclear waste from those power plants. So
mines and that history, that legacy is on the Navajo Nation. We did some stories on that for New Mexico and Focus on New Mexico PBS about the legacy of uranium mining and how that's an issue for some voters who care about the environment.
Exactly. And for Laguna and Acoma as well.
Absolutely. What do you think? Do you agree with Laura Paskus? Would you like to have heard more the candidates at the presidential level or even all the way down to the local level talking more about climate change, talking more about the environment in 2016? The number to call to join us, 1-877-899-5866. The presidential campaign in 2016 was very different than past years. As the drama unfolded week after week, what issues do you think were missed during that time as we were focusing on some of the interpersonal drama between the candidates and statements made by candidates, particularly Donald Trump? What do you think the candidates should have been talking about instead if they had been talking more about the issues? Again, that number, 877-899-5866. And Laura, what would you ideally like to hear from a candidate? What would impress you if candidates were to talk about the environment?
Well, I think knowledge of the issues and of the science behind the different issues, for instance, climate change, understanding that human-caused climate change is occurring and why it's occurring and the impacts it's having, but talking about real plans for the future in terms of energy, energy transitions, energy infrastructure, planning for the jobs that would be lost from, say, the coal industry, which there's a lot of talk about the coal industry and how those jobs have been decimated because of environmental regulations and things like that. And if you look at, in reality, coal has been in a steady decline for decades. And really, in the last 6 or 7 years, the reason behind the decline in coal mining and coal jobs is because natural gas prices are so low. And so coal just can't compete with natural gas. So, you know, candidates who demonstrate a genuine understanding of the issues and don't just sort of default to economy versus the environment arguments that are actually quite false. But really talking about long-term adaptation, which I recognize politicians and elected officials are typically thinking on 4 and 8 year time spans, but really talking about long-term mitigation and adaptation, because climate change is going to affect everything from water supplies to public lands to the economy and infrastructure, education. I mean, it's such an all-encompassing issue that doesn't need to be divisive in any way. We just need to do some planning.
Absolutely. That's Laura Paskus, independent journalist here in New Mexico. Enrique says on Twitter the issues he didn't see covered on the campaign trail this year are ending poverty, expanding democracy, shorter work days and weeks, decreasing life expectancy, and demilitarizing our society. What's your take on issues that were not covered by candidates this year? 877-899-5866, or you can find KUNM News on Twitter. Let's go now to Alexander in Albuquerque. Alexander, what do you want to add to the conversation today?
Yeah, I'm wondering about topics that we hear about nationally, but not really in the from the candidates, like income disparity, and you know how that affects us here in Albuquerque, and what's our sort of expectation of the presidential candidates in addressing poverty and income disparity, and that are important topics locally as well as in other cities.
Yeah, what would you have liked to hear the candidates say on that issue this year?
I'd like them to give us some ideas beyond, like, big, broad federal actions, you know? But, like, how are they going to help cities? How are they going to help the city of Albuquerque, the city of Denver, the city of Seattle?
Interesting. Alexander, thanks for your call today. Oh, we'd like to go now to Antonia Gonzalez. She's with us by phone. Antonia is the host and producer of National Native News, and she recently produced a series with New Mexico in focus on Native American voters and the 2016 elections. Good morning, Antonia.
Good morning.
What are some of the top issues that you've been covering on National Native News that you haven't heard candidates talking about much in the 2016 campaigns?
I think especially economic development for Native communities, tribes out there, and individuals, healthcare, education, housing. These are a lot of issues that Native people are talking about. And also the Dakota Access Pipeline project that Native people across the country are opposing and standing with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Those are definitely, I would say that right now, just looking at social media, that's probably one of the top issues that individual Native people are looking at, and also tribal leaders.
There wasn't a lot of talk from candidates about those Dakota Access Pipeline projects. And in general, do you see candidates, Laura was just talking about energy and environment on a broad level, but talking about how energy and environment decisions would impact tribes, do you see any candidates speaking on those issues?
When you look at different regions, I just got back from Alaska, and when you look nationally, there were some debates going on with some of the people running for Congress, and there's definitely a lot of push there that you see where people are talking about their hunting and fishing rights and why it's important to address climate change and the environment. You also had the Interior Secretary come and make a landmark action where she was, it's not legally binding, but Secretary Jewell was talking about tribes having more input when it comes to environmental issues.
Mm. You cover news across the country. Any candidates you can think of that are addressing the issues of local tribes in their campaigns that maybe voters in some states could have a real impact on local elections? The Native vote could be really important for some candidates.
I think when you look nationally, there are a lot of Native candidates, whether they're I can't think of any off the top of my head right now, but they're definitely both the candidates that they're looking at have been allies, and I think that you'll see the candidates who get into office will definitely get the Native vote if they've already been interested and friendly to Native American issues.
We worked on a series for New Mexico PBS and Vision Maker Media called Voting for Future Generations. And we met some really interesting young people in New Mexico who talked about issues they care about and why they would vote on that or be engaged in civic engagement activities around issues like the environment. Can you tell us a little bit about Leona Morgan?
So Leona started as a grassroots level person who's been working for years along with many other people to address uranium mining on Navajo land, which has had an impact on people here in New Mexico and especially around the Gallup, New Mexico area. And so she was successful in helping stop a uranium mining site there in Church Rock. And so she has been doing a lot of work with that for years and also a lot of work internationally on these issues, talking about health, safety, and a lot of it is education. And her big thing is to use all the tools in the toolbox, so to say. So voting is one of them, to use that. Advocacy is another, educating the public about the issues. So that's been her work for a long time, and, you know, her main focus has been protecting the environment.
Another issue is justice and the concept of what justice might mean to different Native communities. And there was really interesting folks that you introduced us to, Jonathan and Aaron Sims, their brothers at Acoma Pueblo, and they're working on the issue of sacred items being taken away from the tribe and trying to get those back from other parts of the U.S. or from abroad. How did they see interacting with elected officials as part of their work?
Yeah, so when we look at justice in the sense for a lot of Native people, it's not necessarily in a Western view. Tribes have their own ideas of justice. They have their own justice systems. So when we think of Western justice, we think of police, we think of the court systems. And although tribes do have that, they also have their traditional methods of what justice is. And so in this case, in this particular case of getting back traditional cultural items, justice is in the sense of getting them back. And these items are being sold internationally, mostly in Paris auctions. And it's not just the New Mexico, Acoma Pueblo, but it's other tribes across the country. And so what's interesting about this is that the tribal leaders are seeing bipartisan support on this issue for whatever reason. So they're working with people on both sides and also through different levels, different agencies in the government, including the Department of Justice. And I think what's interesting about that is that, the tribal leaders were saying that it would be nice if, when it comes to other Native American issues like healthcare, housing, education, whatever it may be, if there was such a bipartisan support as they're seeing when it comes to trying to bring home these cultural items.
Antonia, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
Let's go now to Andres in Rio Arriba. Andres, what do you want to add to our conversation about issues that were not covered in the 2016 elections?
All right. Thank you.
Andres, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, can you turn your radio down?
Yes, I did.
Great. What do you want to add to our conversation today?
Well, I just want to add that, I was disappointed that they didn't talk more about job creation. I think they were more on the defense of each other, just kind of concentrating on what was going to be said about each other and then just how they were going to combat that negative. And I think they concentrated most on that and I think, if we all kind of think and go back and see how it was just really dodging the bullet one from each other and not really talking about job creation, especially here in New Mexico where, like the last caller said, the budget is so bad and the projections are for improving are probably very grim because the price of oil doesn't seem to be changing at all, and we're so dependent on that instead of solar and wind and so forth that we could be gearing more towards and more in the agricultural field. So my personal opinion as a retired educator is educate more of the youth, and I know you're broadcasting from UNM, and try to educate them students that as they get out of college to be more self-sufficient as far as whatever they decide to get into, agriculture or the arts or what have you, and being that New Mexico is such a tourism state, and try to gear it more towards that. You know, that's what I used to tell my students. Find out what they're good at and pursue it, whether it's arts, music, because obviously we don't have a lot of industry here in New Mexico as far as factories and so forth, creation of jobs. So we just like have to think for ourselves and think what how we can better ourselves, our communities, and our families, and in the different cultures, because we have such a diversity of Native American and Spanish, and also the other different ethnic groups that come in here. And most of them, like I said, real heavily on the, like myself, I'm half Native and half Spanish. And we have a lot of that here, and try to support each other, excuse me, on that, on those terms. So I'll go ahead and let you go for now, and thank you.
Great point, Andres. What do you think? Do you agree with Andres that there wasn't enough talk about jobs and some creative ideas for bringing more jobs to New Mexico, more opportunity, especially for young people in our state? This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Our focus today is issues that candidates were not talking about in 2016. What issues do you care about that you didn't hear candidates addressing in their campaigns? Join our conversation by calling 877-899-5866. We're also live tweeting the show. You can send us your comments to @KUNM News. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to go to a short.
Support comes from Pope Joy Hall, presenting Much Ado About Nothing, a tour de force production of one of Shakespeare's best-loved comedies by the Aquila Theater Company. Sunday, November 6. Tickets and information at PopeJoyPresents.com. Support comes from the School for Advanced Research, with speaker Sasha Scott exploring Indian art and politics, Thursday, November 3rd, 6:30 p.m. at the James A. Little Theater in Santa Fe. Tickets at lectures.sirweb.org.
When you're attracted to a person, it's because of the way they look or the types of interests they have. Maybe you find a person sexy when they do good deeds or have a certain status within their native community. Where do we learn what is attractive? How have traditional Native values on attraction changed? That's on the next Native America Calling.
Weekdays at 11 on KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Thanks for joining us today. You can call and share your comments about what you wish candidates had talked about in 2016, 877-899-5866. Let's go to the phones now. We have Jack in Taos. Jack, what do you want to add?
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. One issue that kind of, you know, stuck with me a few months ago, and then I haven't really seen mentioned since then by either presidential candidate, was the takeover of the wildlife refuge in Oregon. And I know public lands are so important for New Mexico, and especially the relations they have with the local community. And, I was just kind of curious that after that event happened, none of the major candidates took a stance on what they thought could be done with the issue going forward and how to improve relations. I know legislation's been on the ballot in several states about land transfers from the federal government to the state level, or even privatizing those lands. So considering public lands play such a huge role in the West, especially the community's enjoyment of them, I was just kind of interested and perplexed that this issue wasn't given more attention. Thank you.
Interesting. Thanks, Jack. Let's go now to Don in Albuquerque. Don, what do you think the candidates are not talking about?
Why do millions of people worldwide hate and fear the U.S. government? The U.S. has supported dozens of bloody, brutal regimes, past and present, including Saudi Arabia, Israel, Egypt, U.S.-backed atrocities against Palestinians, U.S. wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, U.S. drone attacks. All of these create tremendous backlash. The terrible result, the rise of ISIS, and the most bloody terrorist gang
Don, thanks for your call today. Would you like to share what you think is not being covered by candidates? What do you want to hear from candidates in 2016 or in future elections? Again, the number 877-899-5866. You can also email callinshow@kunm.org. I'd like to bring in now Cindy Nava. She's with us in studio. Cindy is a UNM graduate student who currently has DACA protection. That's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, a program created by President Obama under executive order. It provides legal protection for young people who were brought into the U.S. as children and are not citizens. Cindy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
So as an executive order, we're not sure about what's going to happen in the next administration, regardless of who's elected president. What does that mean for you personally?
Well, personally, it's very concerning, right? And for friends and family members and people who understand what DACA has meant for our lives, it's very, very concerning. To me personally, DACA has been an incredible blessing. It's an incredible stepping stone. And I've seen so many of my friends rise through DACA, including myself, with opportunity and the ability to work, which has been something that we had never been able to do. You know, and really just fulfill our career paths. So standing in, you know, just days away from election, it just makes us really, you know, just really think about at least to me, it really makes me reflect on the things that DACA has brought into my life and the meaning that it has had, because I don't think everyone fully acknowledges the amazing benefits that we've received through DACA. And the ability to really express who we are by really demonstrating the work and what we can do and bring into the U.S. economy.
And DACA came out of a lack of Congress being able to come together and pass comprehensive immigration reform. What did you think as you watched Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton talking about issues? There wasn't a lot of talk about immigration, but there was some mention of it in the third presidential debate. What were your thoughts on what the candidates were saying?
Well, I think it's been very clear. And for whoever it's not, it hasn't been clear enough, I think they should pay close attention to both candidates. I think one candidate has exceeded just the way that she's at least targeted, you know, her support to DACA recipients, to immigrants, to undocumented immigrants specifically as well. They've really gone, I think, out of historical context in terms of being inclusive and really going and outreaching to immigrant communities. And on the other hand, we have definitely seen Trump's campaign really feed into this notion of hatred and bigotry that we had never seen before. And as a daughter of immigrants, I've seen a lot of fear in our communities. People who have never been involved in politics, you know, come up to me and ask me, oh, well, I'm so concerned, Mija, you know, is this man really going to win? Because he is a threat to minorities. He's a threat to women. He's a threat to our immigrant communities. And to me as a dreamer, he is an absolute threat. And he is not someone I would ever look up to, or I would encourage any youth, truly, because to me it's incredibly concerning. And being very passionate and working along the lines of education policy, it's very concerning to me that younger generations are seeing this man as an example of leadership that I don't think should ever come back into the nation.
What about at Congress, though? Comprehensive immigration reform would need to come from Congress. Do you feel like you're hearing people running for the Senate and the House talking about what they would do when it comes to immigration reform?
I think there's plenty of there's a variety of candidates that are definitely targeting and using immigration as a platform, but obviously not as much as we wish. We know that it's been a rough battle. We know that President Obama really tried to get it passed, but we know that it's been locked up in Congress because of the right wing. But I have hope, and I'm very hopeful that we will make a difference this election season, and that Congress will be able to come together, because it is about the bigger picture. And I always tell that to the students that I work with. It is about the larger picture of what we can accomplish as a nation of immigrants, what can we accomplish by coming together, by bringing these 11 million immigrants to contribute fully into the economy as we already are? So why aren't we as a nation being smarter about it? Why aren't we bringing them into the loop and welcoming them? So I mean, I really believe that we can do something that coming this election season, I mean, this this ending of the election season. And, you know, things that I really wonder are, you know, the notion of immigrants in the election. And we've heard rhetoric as of, you know, the right wing saying that they're going to kick out 11 million immigrants. So my question is, okay, tell me how you're going to do that. Tell me, give me the steps, give me the logistics of how that is humanly possible and how much money that's going to take. And why aren't you telling that to the public? Let's see how many people are really in support of that. And then, you know, we talk about women's issues. Okay, so this candidate keeps telling us that he loves women. So tell me how it is that you love us and what it is that you will do for us. Because as far as I've seen, everything I've heard and felt has been extremely derogatory to me and, you know, the younger girls that I work with. And it's just incredibly discouraging for me to have students and youth be exposed to people like himself.
You mentioned education. That's something that's really been on my mind. I cannot remember another election where I heard so little about education policy, education priorities. That's what you're studying as a graduate mm-hmm. student. And so what do you want to hear from candidates? Or do you feel like you've heard anything substantive on the issue of education?
I mean, I think we've heard it, I mean, primarily from the Democratic side and, you know, in regards to debt-free college, which it really gets me excited, you know, but I think we as students obviously want to hear a bit more beyond that, what that looks like, what that will look like for all students, including undocumented students. To me, you know, I have many questions about what do we have access to, because for those that are familiar with DACA students or with undocumented students in general, we don't qualify for federal funding. So, you know, that's a great issue that I'm very concerned about. So I have many questions about that. You know, what about debt? How are we going to fix that? How are we going to be able to go to college without encountering these massive hardships? And how do we bring accessibility and access to underrepresented communities and to low-income children? Because that is a great concern of mine. And in our state, it should be everyone's concern. And you know, just a few weeks ago, I wrote a blog, and I called it Skin in the Game. And it reflects this election season, and I wrote it for the organization Young People 4. And I talk about this notion of having skin in the game and what that means. And to me, I feel that every single person has skin in the game, whether we are youth, whether we are, you know, of all just cross-generational a cross-generational boundary. I just believe that we all have skin in the game, and it's extremely important that we pay close attention to the policy proposals that are being put out there and the reality behind those policy proposals.
People want information. Do you feel like you got enough information about where candidates stand on key issues like education, like climate change? Do you feel like you had enough information about where they stand to make an informed decision this year as you voted already or prepare to vote in the 2016 elections? The number to call, 877-899-5866. We have an email comment from Jeff. He says he hasn't seen candidates discuss the amount of money drug companies spend on marketing and promotions. He's concerned that drug choices should be made based on doctor knowledge and their recommendations. That is something that Congress could take up maybe in the future. Also, Dan on Twitter says he's not heard the candidates talk about repairing infrastructure, building safer transport systems, and giving people more transportation options and freedom. What do you think? Give us a call, 877-899-5866. What issues do you want to hear candidates talk about in the 2016 elections? Let's go now to Sarah in Albuquerque. Sarah, what's your comment today?
Yes, you know, I wish that they would talk more about that New Mexico, we have the shortest state session than any other state. 1 month, 1 year, and 2 months the next year. And you know what? We are the only state still has the all-volunteer legislature. And so we have like about two or three special sessions this year that costed $50,000 a day. So, you know, we have to have special sessions each year, two or three anyways. Why not extend our state session three times, no, like 3 months, one session, and another 3 months, 6 months to 7 months per year? You know, this law has been established, I think, that in maybe 1890, when there was nothing to govern in our state, when we had, like, you know, 1/20th of the population. So this is one of the things that nobody asked or questions, because it's a tradition. You know, we've only done it like this for 120 years, but this is an issue. I mean, and that's important to me, that we need to lengthen our state session and we need to pay our legislature because we value them, you know?
Sarah, and
you know, I kind of feel like this kind of attitude that, you know, we want them to do it for free because they're a bunch of crooks anyway. They're crooked politicians. You know, with that kind of attitude, if you treat them that way, you know, what kind of, reciprocation and of the public service can they do for us?
And you know, all of the seats are up in the legislature for election this year. It's a really important election year where people need to look at who their candidates are in their area. Do you care about issues affecting New Mexicans, like climate change? Is that an issue you'd like to hear candidates discuss more? What about questions you'd like to ask people running for the legislature this year or for Congress? What issues do you want to hear where those candidates stand on? 877-899-5866. Again, that's 877-899-5866. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter. We're KUNM News, or email callinshow@kunmnews.org. Bull from Los Lunas says he's concerned that Republicans haven't done enough to prevent the Zika virus from hurting babies before they're born. And he has some concerns wanting to hear about candidates talking more about immigration and the potential impact on women. What issue do you feel like did not get any attention this year? Again, the number 877-899-5866. I'd like to bring in now Susan Wheeler-Deichsel. She's the co-founder of Urban ABQ, an online group and website of local planners who care about urban development. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you. Excellent discussion so far. And yes, I'm the co-founder of Urban ABQ. We promote practices and policies that strengthen and revitalize cities.
What are the key issues for you on the ballot this year?
Well, it's kind of complicated, but pretty easy. What I've seen in the presidential election so far is that both candidates have talked about the need to rebuild our nation's infrastructure, meaning they want to rebuild and repair our roads, bridges, and such. But what they have not talked about in any detail is how that will come to pass. So let me give you an example from the recent past. When President Obama took office and found himself in the worst recession since the Great Recession, there was tremendous pressure for the government to spend money to get the economy going again, as private investment was pretty well frozen. So Congress passed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act 2009, ERA, it's called, or ARA. And in the rush to get the money into the economy, cities were told to propose projects or federal funding that were shovel-ready. Remember that?
I do remember that.
Shovel-ready thing, which means literally a year or more of all the preliminary work was complete. The design, the engineering, the environmental impact assessments should have been all done in advance, so that the construction project would be ready to go very quickly. So if you had not been working on these things before the Great Recession, you couldn't just get into the game and have a shovel-ready project when the recession hit. So here's the problem with that. Even though it created important jobs and helped the economy get going again, which is a role of the federal government, which is to stimulate the economy when the private sector can't, it was a tremendous lost opportunity for us, because many, many of the projects that were in the pipeline, generated by local and regional systems that designed them, they were all very conventional. They were based on the model started back in the 1960s and in the 70s, which was automobile-dominated transportation planning that included highways that go through the center of major cities, dividing neighborhoods and local economies, wide roads that allowed people to get in and out of the city faster which doesn't help the central city and downtowns at all, and an almost complete ignoring of our once pretty robust transit system, all the way from streetcars to inner city rail, the national passenger rail. Before this kind of thinking, we were in the heyday of great American cities. If you look at the pictures from the 1940s, for example, Philadelphia, Chicago, and Albuquerque, did their main streets look vibrant? Did they have local small businesses, people walking on the streets? They did. But since then, federal spending has helped hurt cities many times more than it's helped it by how it fuels transportation choices based on that model. And I think you had a question about that a little while ago. What about transportation? And so they hurt, and then hurt by these roadway decisions, this urban renewal demolitions, this highway priority over local streets, American cities have to go back to the federal government for subsidy money to deal with the long-term economic impacts of these transportation decisions. The damaged neighborhood economies, the need for revitalizing the downtown, aid to residents who became economically worse off and then slid into poverty, they now need government help. So what we need today from the federal government is smarter transportation spending. We need to be planning the infrastructure of tomorrow, not of yesterday, tomorrow. We need to mobilize existing resources to meet the current and future needs of cities by designing and engineering projects that will make cities economically more competitive. The Brookings Institute, a research organization, has shown that the greater percentage of the nation's wealth is created in cities. So we need the infrastructure that requires to strengthen our cities and lay the groundwork for our economic competitiveness and well-being. So in addition to fixing the infrastructure, sometimes it's been built 100 years ago.
Absolutely. Susan, Laura Paskus, a journalist who's with us today, mentioned earlier that a lot of times she thinks politicians are thinking on this much shorter term scale, 2 years, 4 years, 8 years.
Yeah.
Do you hear candidates talking about these long term conversations and planning about transportation and housing for cities like Albuquerque?
Well, certainly not the details of it. You know, they allude to it in a very general sense, but not. They don't address the specifics like the need for efficient electrical transmission lines, like broadband internet fiber, like renewable energy systems that are balancing the risks of the energy price volatility, oil spikes, natural gas tanks. We need efficient, cost-effective transit options. Once again, are they talking about it? No, not in any particular way at all. But what's interesting is that the White House is talking about it. The White House sent out instructions or suggestions to all the cities in the United States that they update their zoning codes. As it happens, our city right now, and for over a year, has been in the midst of doing that kind of zoning update, which will ultimately, if we can get it right, and they're working very hard to get it right, will help revitalize not only transportation options that are a huge hidden tax on households, because after housing, transportation is the second biggest household expense in America, and we don't really think about that. We know that we pay rent, we know what our monthly mortgage payment is, but transportation costs are a little more fuzzy. So we don't think about that, but smart federal spending can reduce those costs to households. If their employers can't give them raises, they can give themselves raises by having better transportation options.
Interesting point. Susan, leave us with what's a question that you would ask a candidate to see where they stand on urban development, on these issues that you were just mentioning?
I believe I would ask them to, like I said before, give us more specifics about what they will ask, because, of course, the Fed can't mandate what cities do specifically, but what they will ask cities to do to make their codes more modern. Everything is about zoning codes. Make their codes more modern so that the net result is equity for everyone.
Susan, thank you. Susan Deichsel.
Thank you very much. Great show.
Absolutely. Susan Deichsel with Urban ABQ. This is the KUNM call-in show. We're talking about issues that candidates are not covering this year on the campaign trail for the 2016 elections. Do you think any of the presidential candidates this year addressed key issues for New Mexicans? Why or why not? The number to call, 877-899-5866, or you can email your comments to callinshow@kunm.org. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Is your car making spooky noises? Will it cost an arm and a leg to fix? Don't let it become a driveway zombie. Instead, immortalize it by donating it to a good cause. Your old car or truck, even after it's dead, can help keep KUNM alive. Cars and trucks, in the last gasps of their useful life, cough up a big chunk of KUNM's budget each year. It's scary to think that would ever stop. So please, let us tow it away. Call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Violinist Joshua Bell says composer Camille Saint-Saëns is terribly underrated. He thinks this piece is beautiful, logical, virtuosic, and a perfect fit for the violin. Joshua Bell plays the Violin Concerto No. 3 by Camille Saint-Saëns at the Verbier Festival in Switzerland on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekdays at 9 on KUNM.
This is the KUNM call-in show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. You can still get in on our conversation today, 877-899-5866. We have an email comment from Kevin in Los Alamos. He says, there are many downsides to any form of energy, coal, nuclear, natural gas, and oil. Hydropower has environmental consequences, and there's pollution associated with wind and solar. So what's an elected official to do? What are the trade-offs and what they propose? That's what he'd like to hear candidates talk about. You can also talk, join us and say what you'd like to hear candidates address. This election year, it's almost over, but what would you like to see candidates talking about in the future? Let's start looking ahead to those issues that we want to put to candidates early in the campaigns. Let us know what you think. 877-899-5866. Let's go now to Bruce in Albuquerque. Bruce, what's the issue that matters to you that you don't hear candidates addressing?
Well, it may not be as big an issue in New Mexico, but it's I think a global issue, and I think everything that we really are talking about is associated with that, and that's the human population on the planet. I think there's too many of us now, and we're projected to, you know, double that in the next 100 years, and we don't have the ability to go into outer space yet to colonize. So how are we going to do that? You know, global climate change is associated with that. You know, our need to extract more resources, the wars we're fighting all over the world are directly correlated with a competition for resources. And I just like this, you know, like, I don't know how you necessarily tackle it, but having a conversation about it and having it being a regular conversation will get people thinking about it, but politicians won't touch it.
Yeah. Interesting point, Bruce, and that's exactly what we're looking for today, those issues that candidates aren't talking about for one reason or the other. Thanks for calling in. And what about child care? That's an issue that NPR has been covering in recent weeks. The cost of child care, which is enormous in the U.S., also the issue of maternity and paternity leave. Is that an issue that you'd like to hear candidates talking more about, offering some specific proposals of how they would help families on the issue of child care, on equal pay, on maternity and paternity leave? Give us a call at 877-899-5866. Again, that's 877-899-5866. Laura Paskus, let's bring you back in here. We were talking earlier about the environment, about climate change and those issues here in New Mexico. Someone mentioned also the BLM takeover in Oregon, and we do have a lot of public lands in New Mexico. Do you hear candidates talking about management of public lands both now and in the future?
I think on a state level, we hear that. Again, it tends to be kind of an argument rather than something that's very fact-based or very deep discussion. But I think Jack, the caller from Taos, really hit on an important issue when he brought that up in the takeover of the Federal Wildlife Refuge. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of different things going on with that issue, but it highlights sort of this urban-rural divide in the Western United States, and it highlights the sort of issues around public lands. And I think the interior West in particular, some of our biggest issues are just traditionally ignored by the presidential candidates. And I'm always struck by that because you don't have, you don't have the presidential candidates talking about native populations and public lands and mining and sort of these huge watershed-wide issues that we have out here. And then somehow those discussions don't often make it down to the local level either. And so many of those issues kind of fall through the cracks with no one really talking about big long-term solutions to some of the problems that are really unique to the interior West.
That is important. You think it's just it's so different than on the coast and in the cities, the issues that we're dealing with here in New Mexico and other Western states.
Absolutely.
And Cindy Nava, a UNM graduate student and student with DACA protection, you mentioned earlier that students with DACA protection are not eligible for federal financial aid and the cost of going to school. Bernie Sanders did bring that up when he was running in the primary on the Democratic side, kind of brought that issue to the forefront that students are dealing with a lot of debt. What do you hope to see in future campaigns, future elections that talk about student loans and student debt?
Absolutely. I really hope that we get to be more specific and that we get to hear more specifics on just generally the policy, the proposals that they're wanting to move forward and being just very tangible and specific to students and really inclusive of just, outreach and really just communicating with the needs of students so that they can really hear the voices of all students, not just a certain faction that can be, more resourceful than other, but I think all students need to be taken into account and our changing demographics should be taken into account and, career paths, career goals, economic status of those students should be taken into account because those are some of the things that are vital to our success. So, it's like the connection between health access, how it leads to academic success, and then to overall life outcomes. So I would really hope that we can see a development of really being intentional towards the generations of tomorrow and the future leaders of the futures, by really targeting and really listening to their needs.
That's a really important thing, Cindy. Let's go now to Call in Los Alamos. Call, what would you like to add about what you have not heard candidates talking about on the campaign trail this year?
Actually, the lead story this morning in the Albuquerque Journal was that once again the New Mexico students were bringing up the rear in science education. And that worries me because, as several of your callers have mentioned, whether it's urban planning or resource conservation, resource limits of growth, here in New Mexico, water resources, energy development, all of these things require some degree of critical skills for the public to vote intelligently and to hold our elected representatives to working on those big issues rather than being sidetracked on hot button issues, which seem important but are more short term and they won't really solve the longer term issues to get New Mexico out of poverty, out of our economic malaise and to ensure that we have a sustainable future. So I think we really have to get beyond the right versus left shouting and how to fix education if we're going to make any progress on it. And it is a long-term issue because it's the next two generations that are going to suffer if we don't solve it.
Interesting point. Thanks, Carl, for your call today. Armando in Nambe, what would you like to add to our conversation about issues not covered by the campaigns this year? Armando, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What would you like to add to the conversation today?
Yes, I would like to see what they plan on doing about the whole Social Security system. I know since all the corruption and fraud that has happened in the system, how do they plan on making things right for the system for, like, myself, the people that are going to be retirement age, and people that have paid into the system, and then they become disabled or something like that, and they have a struggling time to try and get any assistance from what they had put into the system. So that's really my concern and issue. What do they plan on doing about that?
That's a big one. Absolutely. We'll probably be hearing from candidates on in future elections. You can still send us your comments to callinshow@kunm.org. We're talking about issues that were not covered on the campaign trail this year. Laura, we've been talking for an hour here, lots of different things, education, science education, students, the environment. Anything else that you'd like to add here?
I think I wanted to echo what Call mentioned. There was a little bit of talk in the on the campaign trail about college-level education. Maybe I missed it. I heard nothing for K through 12. I mean, and I was actually, I have a 10-year-old, and so I'm around kids a lot. And these kids are obsessed with this election, which is really interesting to hear the things that they have to say. But I was in one of the elementary schools here in Albuquerque last week, and there's a big poster on the wall where the kids have been encouraged to write, what questions would you like to ask the presidential candidates? And I kind of, you know, I don't know what I expected, but I did not expect, when I walked up and read that poster, there were questions all over that thing about climate change, global warming, water, women's rights, wildlife. I mean, I was just, we need to make sure that we are taking care of that curiosity and educating New Mexico's youth, because they're awesome.
Yeah. But this was a big year. You know, Congress made major changes to what was No Child Left Behind. That was a very big deal. And it was kind of surprising to me that there wasn't more talk about K through 12 education and what we're doing moving forward into the future. All right. Cindy Nava, what about you? We've heard a lot of different things this hour. You've added some things as well. Anything else that you'd like to put on the table?
I think one last thing would be in regards to education, just kind of echoing the K through 12. I would really, really, you know, want to hear candidates really speaking about testing, and specifically for the state. What does testing do to our low income minority students, and how does it disproportionately affect them? So how can we fix that? How can we listen to the students and the needs that they have? And how can we look at the statistics that are out there to really influence productive education policy for K through 12 and higher ed? And how can we look at testing more deeply and consciously so that we can make the right decisions?
What questions would you want to put to candidates in the future? What's kind of the one thing that you want to ask any candidate that's going to be representing New Mexicans?
New Mexicans. Well, you know, how are we going to help our students thrive? Truly. I mean, I believe education is the doorway to the future, and I think it's what's opened the doors for many of us coming from as first-generation college students. And I believe that everyone has the ability, and everyone should have access to education. And I think every single child in the state, you know, and in the nation, but if we're focused in New Mexico, I think every single child, regardless of economic status or legal status, should have you know, the ability to thrive and to lead. And we really need the right leadership, caring for the education of the state, caring for students, regardless of economic levels and statuses. So I would say economically, let's help students thrive and rise into leadership.
Laura, you want to put a question out there that you'd always ask candidates?
I just want to know how they're planning to ensure that future generations of New Mexicans will have clean and available water and safe lands and air and the ability to, you know, pass that legacy on to their children.
This election feels like it has gone on forever, but we are very close to November 8th. Do keep coming back to KUNM and KUNM.org for election coverage. That's all the time we have today for The Call-In Show. The conversation doesn't have to end here. Go to KUNM.org for more information. Find KUNM News on Twitter. And go to the KUNM Call-In Show page and share your comments on today's topic. We also posted links to organizations and programs represented by the folks who called in today. I'm Sarah Gustavus. I'm also the producer of New Mexico in Focus on New Mexico PBS. Marino Spencer was the engineer. Anna Landy was our producer director today, and Ling Baumgartel is the executive producer. Join us again at the same time next week. We'll continue to talk about the 2016 elections in the final days before November 8th. We hope to hear from you next Thursday morning at 8 here on 89.9 KUNM.